Hello. I'm Keen Su. I draw comics. I draw a comic called Jellyby and a new comic called March Grand Prix that's coming out soon. Some of you might have seen it for Free Comic Book Day. And this is...
Tori Wolcott. I write a comic called Mirror Mind and a new comic called Wolf in the Woods.
All right, so I think we're just going to get right...
We're going to start we're gonna by get right looking at the... our dog again.
That is our dog,
that's
Reginald
our dog.
Barkley.
And
now we... Oh, right. And so I thought we'd talk really quickly today about sort of where we both started from and how we started making comics. And so one of the very... one of the things that when I was growing up was I actually grew up in Hong Kong and I had access to all sorts of different kinds of comics. So... because I love them so much, I was basically trying to get my hands on whatever comic I could, and I was just reading whatever I could get my hands on. And so these were sort of the comics that were really that stuck with me at the time. Dragon Ball, one of my all-time favorites, manga, was still in its final run. So the actual Dragon Ball Z books were still coming out, and they were actually being translated to Chinese. And I was actually trying to read them in Chinese because English was my first language, and I was trying to get more Chinese, and I was so excited about Dragon Ball that it was actually pushing me to learn to read Chinese and to sort of actually just so I could figure out what was going on in between all of the crazy action and punching and some of the crazy jokes that were going on. So I was reading a lot of manga. I was also reading translated French comics, things like Asterix and Tintin. I was reading a lot of newspaper strips, so some of my favorites were Calvin and Hobbes and Peanuts. And then I was also reading North American comics. That actually came a little bit later for me, but things like X-Men and sort of the superhero stuff that you guys might have seen, those were all sort of really influential with me. And one of the things that I noticed is that a lot of the things that I read sort of when I was a kid really sort of informed and influenced how I draw now. There's a lot of influences with, for example, with Jellyby, I draw these characters with really big, cute, expressive eyes. That's something I drew from manga. But then also, I sort of have the characters in Jellyby, like the kids, more cartoony in proportions with sort of larger heads and smaller bodies. And that's something that I took from things like Calvin and Hobbes. So, Tori?
I had a bit of a weird relationship with comics when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, I wasn't allowed to read comics because I have dyslexia, and my parents were under the impression that if I read comics, I would not ever learn how to read. Now, how many of you guys know what dyslexia is? Because it's going to come up a lot with me talking. All right, a lot of you do, but for those of you who don't, dyslexia is a thing called a learning difference, and what that means is that I don't necessarily learn things the way that most people learn things. So for me, learning how to read was really, really hard, right? Is that an easy definition for you guys? Don't need to go into brain anatomy or anything? Okay, cool. So my parents didn't let me read comics for a really, really long time, basically until I was 20, and I sort of got to start making these decisions on my own. But I did love cartoons, and one of my favorite cartoons was Batman the Animated Series.
Ooh.
Stop what you're doing and watch it now. And I did manage to get a couple of that comic as well. I did manage to get a couple of Betty and Veronica's, which were amazing, and I was kind of obsessed with Hagar the Horrible, and I think I'm the only person who loves it to the point that I do. It's really great. I think it's great. But when I got older, I got kind of obsessed with Generation X, which was an X-Men title in the 90s, and it was awesome. But when I got into university, I started becoming really obsessed with autobiography in the graphic novel form. And I always thought that, when I started reading that this was just such an insane way to express who you are, because when you read an autobiography about somebody through comics, you can actually see the world the way this person sees it and the way they perceive it. So two of my favorites were, my absolute favorite is Epileptic by David B. I think it's one of the best books ever written. And another one of my close favorites is Persepolis, which is also amazing. Some of you junior mints in the audience, maybe wait a few years before you read them. Just a few years. But Betty and Veronica and Batman, awesome. All right. Now we're going to talk about autobiography.
I think just real quick, I think we both actually got our start in comics, making autobiographical comics. I was trained as an electrical engineer. I went to school, and I was working in the tech industry for a couple of years. And I always had a love for comics, and so when I discovered that webcomics were a thing, comics being posted online for free, a lot of them were actually sort of diary comics or sort of journal comics that documented people's lives every day. And when I first saw that, I felt like that was a great way for me to sort of, the first step for me to get into things, because I didn't really have to think about a story. I could just sort of document things that happened to me. It's like keeping a diary. And so that's actually where I first started, and I first started to learn how to make comics. I was just doing these little four-panel comics, and they're sort of, for me, they're really embarrassing to show, and we might show some of them a little bit later, but that's where I got my start, and so I have a love for autobio and comics as well. But
when we started dating, I went through every single one of his journal comics, like a total stalker. It was awesome. My background is in archaeology, and when I was in university studying archaeology to be Indiana Jones, I took an extra class on comics and the graphic literature, and one of the homework assignments was you can either write a 2,000-word essay on the significance of the new literature, or you can draw a 20-page comic. And I made the wrong decision because I wrote a 20-page comic, which was way more work than just writing the essay like a normal person. When I finished the essay and handed it in, he gave me a B and wrote, "See me." And I was furious. I was very mad about that. So I went to his office, and I was like, "What is this?" And he went, "Oh, no, you totally got an A+, but I wanted you to come to my office and talk to me. So I wrote that on your paper." And I'm like, "Oh, you're a bad person." And he talked me into turning it into a book. By talking me into it, he went, "You should make this into a book." And I went, "Okay." So I did. So this is, my book. It's called Mirror Mind. So in the beginning of the book, I wanted to talk about what it is to grow up knowing that you're different, and that there is something different about you that when somebody sees you, they can't tell. And I think everybody here has that, because last time I checked, everybody is different. If we weren't, society probably wouldn't work very well either. But this is my personal flavor of being different. So I talked about how dyslexia shows up and what it is, and then I go into talking about how I perceive the world differently than other people. So in my perspective, most people seem to see the alphabet normally. I don't. I don't see it normally at all. And sometimes, at the best of times, I can sort of understand what it looks like a bit. I then want to talk about what it's like to be in school and how different and intimidating school was for me. And then I go into a couple of ways that I tried to sneak around and how to hide that I was not particularly good at school. And how crushing and upsetting being different can be. The book does have a happy ending. I'm a pretty happy person, so don't worry about it.
So these are just some of the panels that from some of my early journal comics that I was making. A lot of it was, I read a book called Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud in my last year of high school. And it was really eye-opening for me because it sort of talked a bit about how the actual nuts and bolts of how comics work, and that really got me interested. And so I actually went to his website, and he was doing all sorts of these formal experiments and sort of informal experiments with sort of readers of his, and that sort of got me inspired. And at the same time, I think when I first started making comics, he had just released his second book about his sort of textbook called Reinventing Comics. So I was actually doing a lot of experimental stuff. So I was doing journal comics, but then I was also sort of experimenting with like timing comics to music that would run with an embedded music file, and you would sort of try to read the comic alongside. I would say that it sort of worked maybe 50% of the time. It wasn't that great. But again, it was, for me, it was a chance to experiment and to try new things. And so so these are some of the panels from the later stuff that I did. Just sort of really simple comics. And then came along Flight. Through the web comics that I was posting, I actually got to know a whole bunch of different cartoonists that were also doing comics on the web at the time. And one of them, Kazu Kibuishi, who did the covers and who was the editor for Flight, he sort of wanted to put together this little collection of short stories from a lot of his friends, cartoonists and web cartoonists, and even people that ended up becoming animators at like Pixar and DreamWorks. And we thought it would be fun. And it sort of blew up and turned into this huge thing. And a lot of us got our sort of our first published work in print through Flight. And so a lot of us sort of went from there. And then for me, sort of working with all of these different cartoonists and being exposed to their work, I started getting excited about doing other things outside of AutoBioComics. Instead of just talking about me, I could sort of tell other stories that, you know, I could sort of disguise that are still sort of about me, but I could also, you know, make stuff up or sort of push and pull things as they go. And so what came out of that was my first graphic novel, Jellybee. It's a book about a girl who finds a monster in her backyard. She feeds him a tuna fish sandwich, and then he just starts following around everywhere like a lost puppy. And eventually she decides, you know, he's probably like a lost monster or something, and she needs to help him find his way home. And so they sort of go into the city and get into all sorts of crazy adventures and stuff like that. And again, it's sort of a lot of the things from where I started from, like writing about myself and writing with autobiography, I wanted to put in a lot of things in Jellybee that I wanted to sort of talk about still. So a lot of it is sort of about Portia, the main character. She sort of moves to a new town and is having trouble fitting in. And those were things, because I moved around a lot. I came from Hong Kong when I came to Canada. There were a lot of issues with me sort of fitting into schools, and we moved around to a lot of different schools, so I didn't really have that many friends that were sort of very stable. So there were the things that I wanted to talk about. So in the comic Jellybee, I sort of put that in, you know, eating lunch out on the bleachers on your own on your first day of school, or sort of being isolated from everybody. And this was something that actually, I used to have these recurring nightmares when I was a kid, and it was just sort of... one of the things that I still really remember was this like this huge white snake or eel or something that would come up, and then there were all these other even weirder things that I didn't put into the book because they were just there were things that were like sort of shaped like bowling balls, but bowling pins, but they were all fuzzy and hairy, and they would just sort of like shamble slowly towards me, and I like no idea what to do.
To me sounds adorable.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was like, it's kind of weird. I don't understand.
I remember a hamburger one time that the hamburger was like eating my toes, and then my dog was at the foot of the bed who kind of looks like a hamburger. It was this whole thing. Anyway.
Yes, and so we get to Toronto to Tuscany. So after I finished Jellybee, I met Tori, who had finished her book Mirror Mind. And do you want to sort of take it from here? You want to sort of talk about?
I used to be an archaeologist, and I did a favor for a friend of mine who was doing his PhD, and how do I shorten this story a lot? I did all the drawings in his PhD for free because his other artist decided not to, who he had already paid, which was awesome. So he was in a bad way, so I stepped in and finished all the illustrations for him. And that was many, many years ago, and then we'd sort of lost contact and all this stuff. Then all of a sudden I got this email from him saying, hey, I've got an apartment in Italy that I'm not using for a month. Do you want it? And I was like, yes, sir, I do want that free apartment in Italy. So I got all my stuff together, and I was going to fly to Italy. And then I met this guy, and I was like, oh, I like him quite a bit. Want to come to Italy with me? And Weirdo did. We known each other for like 2 days. He was like, okay, I'll come to Italy with you. And so we proceeded to have an adventure. The thing was that the moment I knew that I was going to go, I had decided I was going to do a comic about it. I knew that this was going to be something kind of important for me. So I had made that decision going in. One thing, we're going to show you some of our notes from the thing. For me, writing is really difficult. Writing stuff down is really, really hard. So when I'm trying to remember stuff, I draw pictures. So this is one of the saints that was in the basilica near where we were staying that I really like to sit and draw. I like drawing architecture and all this stuff. So my sketchbooks from when I was in Italy, there's very little writing, but there's a heck of a lot of drawings. And anytime I look at one of those drawings, I remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, and so one of the things that I think for both of us, I was actually kind of burnt out working on the two Jellybee books, and I was sort of in between books, and I thought I sort of wanted to recapture having fun drawing again, because I sort of had lost that. And so this trip to Italy, like, we were drawing a lot in our sketchbooks. We would sit down for days and just draw where whatever it was we were at. So, and in my case, I still sort of have these residual, like, I always want to draw comics, like some form of comics. So I was drawing the pictures, drawing things, but then I was also writing about them as well. So you still have the combination of the pictures and the words. And then I think from there, we sort of started thinking, oh, well, maybe we can do this as a comic and sort of tell the story in a comic form. So when we actually came back from Italy, we came back from our trip, we actually sat down and started working on the comic together, the comic Toronto to Tuscany. So these are just some of Tori's. So, and one of the interesting things was that we were able to sort of collaborate and sort of tell a story that was sort of a little bit different in that sort of like a he said, she said kind of thing, where we could sort of show different sorts of things going on. So these are Tori's pages. So that last one of the, this one of the St. Peter's Basilica. Did you want to talk anything?
Was super awesome because there was like this cardinal dude who was really nice and he was just like being nice to people. And I was like, I was trying to get up the nerve to be like, hi, what's up? And he also, I saw him speak like 7 languages. He was just like, oh, sup, this is me speaking French. Oh, hi, you need me to speak another language? Like, it was just crazy. He was just talking all these languages. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go up and talk to him. I'm not Catholic, but I think this is really cool and what. And then he vanished in this secret passage. It was the coolest thing. I just saw the little like click behind this thing, but it was just like poof, and he was gone. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Yeah, so that was that page.
And so this is the very next page. This is where I sort of jump in and sort of talk about how cool it was. It was pretty cool. And so this was actually from the very start of the comic, and it was sort of, so on the left-hand side, those panels were the ones drawn by myself, and on the right-hand side, those are the panels drawn by Tori. And so it was about my flight over to Italy, which was supposed to be, I think, like an 8-hour flight or something with one layover, and it turned out to be like a 22-hour flight with three stops. I missed 2 connections because there was a problem with the plane. And so we were sort of telling the story from Tori was planning to meet me in a square, I think by the Duomo in Florence. And so she was having this lovely, lovely day. She was getting gelato. She was having lovely lunches. Meanwhile, I'm sort of panicked and running around back and forth. And
I feel like one thing I didn't make totally clear, that was my second ice cream.
Yeah.
Gelato, sorry, of the day.
And so, you know, it was, so it's sort of having the contrast of crazy things happening.
Also, I didn't pay for a single meal that day. It was amazing. Like, people just kept buying me stuff. It was just the best day ever, and this guy was having
it. Yeah. So, yeah, so, and so that sort of leads us into what we're sort of working on now. Did you want to?
Is mine first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You may be the lovely assistant.
Yes, I will be the lovely assistant.
So the book that I'm working on right now is Flipped Fables. So what I'm doing is I'm taking existing fairy tales and I'm just switching all the characters' gender because I wanted to see what that would be like. I should actually show you the cover of it. So the first one I did was Little Red Riding Hood. So it's the exact same story of Little Red Riding Hood. The only thing that I've changed is who are boys are now girls and who are girls are now boys. It's the only difference I made. And I wanted to do this to try and figure out what's the difference. And what I figured out so far, not a big difference. Not a huge difference. It's the exact same story. But I had a lot of fun playing with it. And I had a lot of fun trying to draw in a new way. And as you can tell, I really like black and white. It's my favorite way to color. To shade things. Am I talking ridiculous? Anyway, I like playing with texture, and I like playing with dark space and light space. That's my favorite thing. So that's a page. And this is when Little Red meets the woodswoman, or the hunter. So everything is exactly the same, just the gender is switched. It's the big difference. Oh, I had one more page. And that's the wolf. I had so much fun doing the wolf because she's got all sorts of spots, which is a lot of fun to draw. Now we're into March.
And so for me, I was doing a lot of, after the first Jellaby books came out, I was doing a lot of school visits and talks at libraries and things like that. And so one of the things that I often did at workshops was something that I sort of stole from Tori, her lesson plan, was taking existing fairy tales and sort of adapting them into comics form. And one of the things that sort of really influenced the work that I was working on was being able to sort of take, because fairy tales are great, they're so robust. There's a reason why they're around, they've been around for hundreds of years, because you can take them, you can change them, you can play with them, and you can do all sorts of things, and you can still, there's still a really good story, and there's really good characters that we want to care about and find out what's going to happen next. And in that sense, with March, I was drawing this comic, which is about March the rabbit, who's trying to become the world's greatest race car driver. And I found that actually using fairy tales as the base for some of these stories, I could actually pull out what I wanted and sort of expand on the stories. Because because I love certain fairy tales. And so one of the examples in the fourth March book, which isn't coming out yet, I've actually just written it. It's sort of basically the story of the Three Little Pigs meets Mad Max. So there, you know, so there's these ideas. This is this idea where they're trying to deliver this tanker of pickles, and there are these wolves. So it's a family of pigs, and they're trying to deliver this tanker. And then there's all of these wolves after them, trying to steal.
No spoilers.
Trying to steal the tanker.
No spoilers,
because there's a lot of good spoilers in that one. But if we have time, should I just do a quick reading?
I think you should do the reading. It's really
okay.
I'll hit the buttons though.
You sure? All right. So this is actually the second book. March is coming out in August, so about a month and a half away. And I'll just do a quick reading from this story. This is The Baker's Run. So just to set things up. March's sister, April, she's a baker. She's just opened up her new business selling pies and tarts and all sorts of different things. And March is here to sort of help out with her, and they've just got this big delivery that they have to make. And so March is going to help out. Thanks for helping, March. You guys didn't have to. I can handle this on my own, you know. Nonsense. This is a huge first order, and I want to help my sister out. Hey, you guys. The crowd is finally gone, and April's delivery van, speed 4, acceleration 4, handling 4. April, why didn't you tell us you had a van like this? This is a classic. I've also had a boxer engine conversion done to the van. Just because I'm a baker doesn't mean I can't have good taste in cars. March, I think I'm in love with your sister. Knock it off, pork chop. Just look at this interior and April's famous apple tarts. April's famous apple tart. Taste 10, texture 10, appearance 9. You know, there are a lot of tarts in here. Nobody's going to miss just one. Hammond, no. Hey, April, you're coming with us, right? Hammond has no idea where we're going, and he couldn't navigate his way out of a wet paper bag. It's true. Oh, all right. Everyone ready? Ready! Then let's go! Vroom! March, the pedal's already to the floor. March, you know this is a delivery van, right? It's not built for speed. This is a nightmare. Don't worry, we'll get to Mayor Winters on time. On time? On time? I've never just been on time in my life. If we were faster, you could make more deliveries in a day and have more business. March, no. The business is fine as it is. I just started it, after all. I do know a shortcut at Senna Avenue. March, don't you even dare. Screech! Gwump. Bonk. Ooh. March, relax. It's a shortcut. No, in front of us. Yikes! Screech! See? That wasn't so bad, right? Buh. Wuh. Guh. Oh no. Look out! Get out of the way! Beep beep. Beep beep. Fish! Fish! Splorch. Boing. Hold on. Crunch. Bomb. There's the road. Get back on the road. No problem. Well, that went pretty well, don't you think? Screech! Hey, it's Mayor Winters. We've caught up with her. March, don't you even think about... Hammond, have you been eating all the tarts? If we pass her here, we can totally deliver the tarts before she even gets home. That's Mayor Winters' order. Stop eating them right this instant. I'm sorry, I eat when I'm nervous. I think I can beat her at the lights. Think about the slogan, delivering it to you before you even get home. What do you think, guys? You're still eating. I can't help it. You're making me more nervous. All right, I'm going to do it. Buckle up. Vroom. Give me that apple tart. Eek! Bing. Vroom. Vroom. Oh, no. Thump. This is gonna smart. Crash. So that's just a quick excerpt from the second book. So I think we only have 10 minutes. Do you want to,
I think, do the drawing?
You want to do a quick? So we thought we'd do, we'd try to get a quick comic done to sort of show you guys how we actually make our comics. And for me, I always start, for me, I always like to start with the characters. So for these sort of big group activities, I always like to use these two characters that that are really easy to draw for me. So and one of the things about character design for really simple comics is using basic shapes. So if you sort of look at the characters that I use for March, you can sort of see that March's head, the rabbit, his head is just sort of like an oval. And Laika, the fox, who's sort of standing behind him there, she's got sort of like a diamond-shaped head. And Hammond, he's just basically sort of a complete rectangle. His head is sort of goes into his body. So they're really simple shapes and really easy and quick to draw. And so and with that in mind, I actually use, for this example, I have these two characters, and they're just drawn with three circles and sort of different proportions and sort of ovals that I've stretched.
And what are their names?
And so you can sort of get the sense of the personality. I'll tell them their names after we see who they are. So then I just fill in the little details.
I love these guys.
And so the big one is George. And the small one I call Jerome. So when we first start writing, the toughest part is always the blank page. Where do we get our ideas from? And so what I always do is that we actually just sort of sit down and sort of write down simple sentences, sort of basic ideas of what would be cool to draw or something that we want to talk about.
Now, have you guys done brainstorming before? Okay, everybody who knows what brainstorming is, raise your hand. Okay, awesome. I think we're going to do, instead of getting you guys to shout out, I'm going to do raised hands because I think everybody's a little bit more comfortable with that.
All right, so we're going to just take notes.
We're going to take notes.
Yep.
So do you want to write them on this?
I'm going to write them all here, and then I'll, yeah.
So the first thing we're going to need is a location. So anybody who has an idea of a cool place that something can happen, please raise your hand.
Or an activity. It could
well,
be.
I thought we could start with place and then we'll go into activity
okay.
And then we'll sort of like.
Okay, we can mix
it up. Okay, a place or an activity. Anybody got something? What you got for me?
Mordor.
All right, what you got for me? Hit me.
Playing chess.
Playing chess. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Anybody else got something? Now, do we have any, like, what's a funny object? What's an object that is inherently funny? I always think golf balls are hilarious. Have you ever like looked at a golf ball? It's like, what are you even doing with that? I don't know. Like, it's a weird ball. But who's got something else? What's a funny object? What do you got, Faith?
Bagpipes.
All right. Who's got another funny object? What's a funny piece of fruit? What's the funniest kind of fruit you can have? Your hand moved, so I'm counting it as an up. Name me a fruit.
Pineapple.
I agree. I have like three articles of clothing with pineapples. I have a pineapple dress, I have a pineapple shirt, and I have pineapple socks, which I am not wearing today, but I usually do. Who's got another funny fruit? Me a fruit. You with the smile shirt on, I can tell you've got a thought. You got, what's a fruit? Name me a fruit.
Ketchup.
I like it. All right, and you, what do you got?
Yeah.
Papaya. Amazing. All right. And what's another funny activity? What's an activity that is fun to do? What's something fun? You moved your hand. It counts as going up. Yep.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, something that's fun to do? Mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn.
You are a strange human being. Who else? What's another fun activity? All right, and who? Okay.
I think we got some good.
All right.
We got some good
Let's
ideas.
Go
so
from there.
One of the things that I'll always do once I've got the ideas brainstormed is just sort of step back and sort of see what we can sort of story we can tell. And so I like combining ideas in this case. So I really love the Mordor idea. I kind of like all of them. We can fit in the fruit and playing chess.
If you don't manage to get those bagpipes in, I'm gonna be sad.
And we gotta put bagpipes in here somehow.
That's pretty great.
And mowing the lawn as well. So,
right.
we'll try to work that into the comic. Okay. And do you want to start?
Do you want me to do the squares? I'll do the squares.
Sure, if you want. So I'm thinking, when we start the comic, we want to sort of set the scene, right? So we want to show maybe the flies are already in Mordor, and maybe we can also combine that with something. So we want to show what they're doing sort of at the start of the story. So maybe they could just be playing chess
in Mordor.
And one of the other things I was just thinking was that maybe we could also use, maybe they're playing chess. They don't have chess pieces, so maybe they're just using the fruits. So
maybe they're playing chess for fruit, like the fruits, the like.
Or maybe, yeah, okay, so maybe okay. That's the prize.
So, all right, so I have to draw a chessboard in Mordor.
Do you want to draw some of these?
Now I'm nervous about it. Okay. I got nervous about it.
All right, so the only thing I really know about Mordor is the big eye, the big tower, right?
And the
eye.
Tower.
Do you
want to
do the tower?
side note, I'm super obsessed with Lego right now, and I'm building this crazy huge tower that I've decided is not the Mordor Tower. Now I'm nervous again. Oh, somebody talk. This is terrifying.
One of the other things I always like to do is I always like to make sure if I'm drawing that to leave myself just enough space to write the dialogue in. Actually, when I first started making comics, I would be so excited about drawing the pictures that I would not leave enough space for myself to actually write all the dialogue out in. So one of the things that I do is I'll always write the dialogue out first and make sure I have enough room to fit that in. But we've got plenty of room here at the bottom. So we've got the characters playing chess, so maybe we can just have one of them saying, like, ha! Knight takes rook. And so we want to show. So we've got the tower. Doesn't it have spires or something like that?
Well, I was giving you room to draw the characters in front
right.
of the tower.
So we've got the word balloon here, and maybe it's just in the background, so we can sort of show some trees, sort of way off in the distance.
I don't think there are a lot of trees in Mordor, man. There's like Have you not seen this movie?
Maybe it's. All right.
What are you doing?
All right. So
make them ants. Put faces on them. There
okay.
we go. They're
oh,
ants
okay.
in Mordor.
Right, so
there we go.
Got,
we're all like working
now
with
we've got ants.
There we go. Oh, this kind of thing.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I think we managed to make that happen.
All right, so now we've got, we just want to quickly show them playing chess. And we've got the chessboard here, so maybe we'll just show one of the pieces. And so they're playing for fruit. Is that what
yep.
we're going for?
And ketchup.
And ketchup. So we've got the board here, and maybe we've got some chess pieces here, and maybe George will be sort of very considering his next move, or maybe he's shocked.
Give him some shock lines in there.
Yeah. So we could sort of have sort of sweat beads shooting off of him. He's in trouble now in his next move.
So I feel like we need to show the prize in the next
right
thing.
So what should so should we show? Should we show the prizes behind them?
I would do a close up on the bowl of fruit, and just like star, like I'm gonna win this bowl of fruit, like stars and
this
showing
bowl,
this is the best bowl of fruit ever. The bowl of fruit will be mine. Or?
This bowl of fruit. Oh, I like that. So we want to show.
We need a pineapple, a papaya.
What does a papaya actually look like?
like a kumquat, but more exciting.
All right. Well, we'll do the pineapple because I kind of know what that looks like. Maybe we have, and we want a bottle of ketchup in here too.
Yep.
And maybe we can even show, so we want to sort of show them, maybe George will already be eyeing the bowl. And we'll have Jerome sort of just standing off, a little bit off panel maybe.
Also eyeing the bowl?
He's more focused on the game. He's more excited about, because he's in it to win legitimately. All right, so what should happen next? What's the next thing, Tori?
I feel like this is an opportunity to show mowing the lawn, actually. Because that would pretty wreck a game, right? And, you know, if you have Mordor, you have to keep it scary looking. So you have to have a very catered lawn, right? Like, this lawn has to be taken care of to make sure it's terrifying and Mordor-like, right? Like, you can't just let the grass grow.
Right.
So I guess there'd be a lot of, like, what are the dudes, the bad guys with the white, what were those guys called again? The orcs? The orcs would be mowing the lawn, right?
You want to have orcs mowing the lawn?
You got to take care of you got to be house proud. You've always got to be house proud.
Right,
it's very important.
So now I'll have, so maybe we want to show the orcs sort of ruining the game, right? So they just mow over there. So they're mowing the lawn, and they go and it eats through the chessboard or something, right? So maybe we'll just have them.
What do you guys think? Are we heading in the right direction? All right.
Hey.
Do you have a better idea? You've got a big smile on your face. You look pretty clever. I bet you do, but if you're shy, you can come tell me afterwards, okay? Okay.
So, hey, that's our chess game. So so we'll just have the orc sort of coming through his lawnmower.
I totally thought you were drawing the orc first. I'm like, man, that orc looks like a lawnmower.
That's a very lawnmower.
Yeah. I'm really worried he's going to draw like an elf or something because he like thinks there are trees in Mordor. He's never going to hear the end of it.
Let's get the word balloon. Shocked as it comes through. Maybe it'll be, we can just sort of show the.
And chess pieces flying everywhere.
Chess pieces flying out. And we gotta draw the orc.
Can I draw the orc?
You wanna draw the orc?
Yeah, you start figuring out the next thing.
So, we've got the idea. So, again, when we're working on a comic, we'll always look back at the ideas and see what else we can put into the comic. So, we've done Mordor, we've got playing chess. We haven't done the bagpipes yet, but we've got the pineapple, the papaya, we've got the ketchup, and so we've got the mowing the lawn in there. So the last thing is with the bagpipe. So is there a way we can? So we got to end the comic with the last panel. Does anyone have any ideas how we can end with using the bagpipe somehow? To sort of any ideas? Anyone? Yep.
They could be forced to play the bagpipes to entertain the Eye of Sauron.
That's a good one. Or
who had that? Genius.
So maybe we could have the bagpipes, and maybe we could put a wrinkle on it. Even maybe whoever's playing the bagpipes is so bad at it that it's so distracting that the eye is just really So maybe they're just trying to get... So maybe, what do we want to have them say? Maybe just something like revenge?
Oh yes, we'll have our revenge with bagpipes. That is what bagpipes are the best for. Revenge.
We will have our revenge with bagpipes.
Oh, what you got?
Is it possible to make the eye of Sauron rolling? Like it's like...
Oh my god.
Yes.
That's great.
And then can we have a little hobbit sneaking in? Fast?
Let's... All right, so we've got...
and show more ants.
Well, we'll put the ants in the background. All right, so there's a lot of things we've got to sort of squeeze in here.
That's a pretty good...
So maybe, and because they're sort of flies, we want to show them a little smaller this time, and we'll have the bagpipe here. And they've got the little...
That's actually a really good bagpipe. I like it.
And then we want to, so we'll have... The word balloon connected, but then we want to show
music notes.
All the horrible broken music notes. My apologies to anyone that loves bagpipe music or something. Bagpipes are great, but I think these flies are just not good at playing the bagpipes.
Okay, yeah, I've heard some good pipe music, but not often. It's an ancient art. You have to practice it a lot.
And we'll have, I guess we'll show some ants. And maybe it's so bad, everyone's covering their ears.
Like the angry ant, that's awesome. Palm tree ants. That's
and we've got the orc here too. So maybe the orc. So maybe...
Give him his skirt.
Her skirt?
Yeah. Skirt. Lady orcs.
And we've got the flames. I think that's a pretty good comic. I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. I think...
I was hoping... he left me hanging for the high five. All right.
There we go. Yes.
All right, give them all a round of applause.
Thank you.